Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of our Grey's Academy episode, Disarm, the 11th season. Nope, the 11th episode of the 7th season. We'll get to season 11 eventually, and then we'll get to season 20 eventually. It'll take several years.
By the time we get to season 20, they'll be at season 40.
I hope not.
I think it's just renewed for their next 19 seasons.
Oh, okay. So, yes, this is part two, so make sure you've listened to part one. And we are going to get started with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland! Shocker.
Oh, my. I am going to have you... I'm going to tell you that two of these are students, so I'm not going to have you guess. There's four altogether. Two of them are students, so just, like, random background students. And then there are two that are, like, speaking people.
So. Okay. All right. The one lady, the Mrs. Sturgeon.
Yes.
And then the mom.
Yes.
Shooter's mom. Is the other one that blonde guy that Bailey was randomly talking to for like 2 seconds? Or no? Was that Chuck?
I truly don't know.
I think that ended up being...
The other two were... Yeah. The Chuck was talking... Bailey did talk to Chuck where he was like, who does this?
Right.
That was Chuck.
Right. Okay.
But that was... He was not one of the Shondaland people. So we have Susan Rutten was Mrs. Swark, so the mom. She was in one episode of Private Practice. Paula Newsom was Mrs. Surgeon. She was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. Matthew Brady was a student who was in two episodes of How to Get Away with Murder. And Stacey Danger... Incredible name. Also a student in one episode of Scandal. So that's what we have.
I love that. Was the lady in was the Miss Sturgeon in How to Get Away with Murder, was she was the faculty, like the college dean?
No. That girl was in like 5 or 6 episodes.
You're right. You're right.
She's pretty young, I feel like. Because I remember being like, you're the dean. You're like, well, she at least looked very young to me. Anyways, okay. So, yeah, that was Living in Shondaland.
Love it. And when we met Marty, did we call him out? Was he living in Shondaland?
I don't think he was living in Shondaland, but I did look him up. If he was, I would have done it in the Gary Clark episode.
Yeah.
Because this was a repeat episode, so...
For him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's kick this off. Speaking of the shooter, let's kick it off with, there's that scene where Weber and Marty are talking. And I think Marty at one point had said before this that he was like, he couldn't identify the shooter after he called in that the shot was successful and the shooter was down. But he couldn't identify anything else past that because then he went down after. So they had to wake him up just to get the information out. And Marty's like, he would want to be in pain and identify this guy. He would want this.
Well, he said he would be willing to have pain to be able to identify the shooter.
Same thing. We just said the same words.
We didn't. But okay.
So they wake him up.
Yeah. They reverse his pain meds so that he can, which, like, obviously I don't want anybody to be in this much pain, but I also understand where they're basically, they have to be like, we need to know if, like, we need confirmation that we got the shooter. We need to know if it was someone else and they're still out there. We need to know if there's more than one shooter. Like, we don't know yet. We need, like, confirmation of, like, who he shot and if we know where that person is.
Yeah.
So I understand, like, needing to know so that they can, like, continue to clear out the school and keep people safe there, or, like, take people off lockdown if, you know, whatever the protocols may be. Sorry, the dog's starting to make noise, so this should be interesting.
We got this.
So they reverse the pain meds so that he wakes up and can tell them. And they're able to do that. And then directly after that, there's blood in his abdomen. He, like, can't breathe. They try to take him to surgery, but all the ORs are occupied, so they have to operate in a trauma room. It's crazy, but he does, in fact, survive.
Yeah. So when that's going on, it cuts away. I thought actually at that moment, I was like, okay, he's in the hospital somewhere. But I thought it was going to be the guy that Bailey was talking to, the blonde guy. I thought it was going to be Chuck.
Oh.
So they use that as that moment where they're like, they cut away. We don't know who it is yet, but they get the information. Hunt starts to kind of delegate out to April. And says the outpatient, I think the outpatient room or the follow-up room, like
outpatient
that is
unit.
The outpatient unit is now going to be acting as a MASH, like mobile trauma. Mobile,
yeah.
So you're in charge, which is cool because this is what she's
honestly
been training for.
A good episode for April.
Yeah, she keeps it together. But in that moment, they shove Weber back in. He's like, also, Weber at one point starts and ends a sentence with Hunt. Hunt, you better know what you're doing, Hunt. And I'm like, I don't know why this just did like that. That didn't sit well with me. I didn't like that. It's off-putting. Just from like a grammatical sense. So anyways, the big reveal happens shortly after that because they get the guy's stuff. He's a 20-year-old something kid, ginger boy wearing black clothes. And it turns out that it is Teddy, Christina, and Jackson's patient.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy.
To me, I see what you're saying. To me, from like a Shondaland point of view, it makes a lot of sense to be like, obviously it can't just be Christina saw somebody in the field and then came back to the hospital. There has to be another layer on it because of like who these riders are. But I also see what you're saying, where it also would have been a twist if he was like awake and like in the hospital. But I would hate it for there to be like, and then he shot more people in the hospital, got shot. Like, I would hate that. And then it's like, they have to close this hospital. Like, you can't, that's like someone, like, we can't have this hospital anymore. None of these people can like be doctors anymore. Like, right. It would just not track for me. But that would also have been a twist. So I do see what you're saying, but for me, I'm like, it makes so much sense to like attach it to Christina.
Oh, it made sense. I just didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
And
which
I like
good. That means it's good writing. So I guess we'll get into that. I feel like we're going to have differing opinions, which is surprising. So were you against Teddy being like, we're going to save this guy?
No,
I thought you were saying earlier that you were like having issues with Teddy in this episode.
Just really all around the marriage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I like, shout out to Maddie for her favorite character. I think that they kind of bring a really cool other layer of Teddy into this particular storyline. Because when that one, was she a nurse or a doctor who's like, I can't?
Nurse.
Yeah. So she says that she can't help out. She can't give the thing to Teddy. And then Jackson's like, yeah, this is absolute bullshit. Anarchy, yeah. Mutiny in the operating room. Mm-hmm. And Teddy's like, I had to operate on Iraqi soldiers who just finished blowing up our own guys.
Yeah.
This is the oath. This is the job.
Yeah.
And as a rule of thumb, I have a hard time with black and white hard lines. Mm-hmm. I operate in my entire life in gray, which is ironic.
That's so interesting because I really feel like you are very black and white a lot of the time.
When I think I'm black and white on things that for some reason I'm choosing, but I think in general, I understand that most of life is a gray area.
Right.
I think that in the times where I'm choosing hard stances, black and white, I am potentially in the wrong. Maybe.
Or potentially just trying to irk people.
No.
Me being people. It's me. I'm people. It's Jessica. Jessica's people.
Yeah.
It's our friends. Our friends are people.
No.
I see what you're saying.
But just in general, yeah. That's I think where I have a hard line. I have a hard time understanding that. But it's when that's a part of your core of who you're like, that's her belief. That is her core belief as a doctor and why she's in this profession. So I respect that. Jackson's, I kind of think that he was just being a little bit of a turd.
I think Jackson's is so wrapped up in his own trauma and the loss of his friends that that's where he's coming from.
Yeah.
Like, I think he can't get past that. I think... I don't know that he would have done the same thing in a different scenario. Here's my thing. First of all, we have our Patreon questions.
Oh.
And so get on Patreon if you guys want to be able to ask us questions during each episode. But Catherine said, would you have stayed in the surgery on the shooter or leave like Avery and some of the other staff did?
Ugh, that is such a hard question to really answer. I want to believe that I would have just done the job. And if I'm looking at like an apples to apples comparison or apples to oranges, because I'm not a doctor. If I was at work and someone was being mean to me, I would still give them great service. However, there is a line to that. If someone started being racist towards me or one of my teammates or sexist or
actually threatening,
that's like my responsibility to my team and as a manager is to kick them out, call the police. So right. I think that's tough if they're just being a dick, but not racist, sexist, homophobic, etc., I'm still going to give that person service. So that's hard. But if the roles were reversed and I was a doctor, I mean, yeah, I think I would kind of, I would want to save the person just so they can get justice, I think. Which I think Bailey
that's
deals with for the Nazi guy.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, so I am against the death penalty, and I feel like I would have to carry that out into this scenario. Like, I don't believe you should die. Like, I think there are worse things than death, and I think being held accountable is more important than me feeling like I got what I wanted.
Yeah. And actually, I think Teddy even says you were not the judge, jury, and
yeah. And that's why I try and think of in a lot of scenarios, like, we don't have to get like way into it, but like, when people get shot after they break the, like this, right? He got shot because he broke the law, technically. Like, I mean, obviously it's like such an extreme. He's like putting other people in danger and shooting other people. I'm like, just because you break the law doesn't mean you have to die. I think you should be brought to justice. I think you should face the crimes. You should face the people that you hurt and their like extended families, and like, you should have to look what you did in the eye. This guy, they say they found a suicide note in his pocket. He was obviously planning on like suicide by cop or maybe suicide himself. I don't know. That's not specified, but it was his assumption going into this that he would not be alive at the end of the day. And I'm like, that's not a choice you get to make.
Yeah.
It's when Burke got shot, that shooter, they were like, you don't get to just fucking die and like get out of this, like, you gotta deal with it.
Yeah.
I believe it was Bailey who said that to that guy. So I would like to say in this scenario I would think I would say. However, when you put the trauma of having survived a shooting on top of that, I can't say for sure. That to me is where I'm like, I don't know, but I feel like it comes from more of a trauma thing than like an anger thing.
Yeah. And I also just want to say, I think my personal feeling on this scene is Jackson and that other nurse kind of have the luxury to say no and leave and refuse treatment because it's Teddy's OR. Teddy's in charge.
Yeah, he's not going to die because they left.
Yeah. If it was Jackson and he's the only one, like what happened recently where, Alex, where he had to do the surgery because Stark wasn't responding.
Right.
If Alex all of a sudden found out that kid shot up a school and then refused to do the surgery, I think that transitions to him being in the wrong. I'm not saying that Jackson is right, and I'm not saying that the nurse is right, but I think that they had their choice isn't as consequential as if Teddy all of a sudden said, "You're right, none of us can do the surgery now." But I like to think that in that case, I would have probably stayed in. I would not have been happy about it, and mm-hmm. but I think if you live and you look past the trauma, maybe there's a point where if that person were to die, you would regret not saving the life or going against your morals because you're compromising your morals in that moment. But I don't know.
Again, it's so hard to say, oh, I would absolutely do X, Y, right. and Z in any situation. So I won't like say it with any finality. That is what my belief is. Like, I think you should face justice, and regardless of the fact that our justice system is super fucked up, I do still think you should have to like be processed and like to the fullest extent of the law.
Yeah.
To quote David Rosen, Attorney General of the United States of America. So that's my thought is like, I would like to say you're going to live through this because you have to pay for this. And I don't necessarily think death is always like the worst punishment for things. So I also like the choice to have the mom there, I think is really like it adds a whole different layer that you really don't think of. Before that, obviously, they also like they made it out of college. So it's like younger people, mostly like late teens, early 20s. That's how old this character is. The shooter is 20. So obviously with Gary Clark, they, you know, he's like, I don't have any family. It was just my wife and she's dead, blah, blah, all this stuff. And so like this is such a different version of that event. And so to have the mom there, to have the cop have to tell her that her son is the shooter, to then have her have to be like, he did this and I just still want him to be alive. Like, am I a bad person because I didn't know? Am I a bad person because I want him to live? Like the complexity on that is really like unfathomable.
Yeah. That's a good point you bring up. And, I found that as a parent, I'm way more paranoid about like everything.
Yes.
And this is one of those things that you think the opposite of. Like I don't want to live in a world like this, but mm-hmm. I plan on raising Marlo and other future kids that I have, hopefully, that like you can never completely disassociate from your surroundings. You have to always have a little bit of awareness. An eye or an ear of an awareness. Mm-hmm. I will go out quite often and only have one AirPod in if I'm listening to music, or I'll have both my AirPods in with nothing playing. Mm-hmm. And, or I'll go to, even if I'm getting Chipotle, I'm like looking up at like what's going on if I'm on lunch at work. And I had this kind of realization. So we were watching 4th of July fireworks this year. And last mm-hmm. year there was a shooting incident in one of the Chicago suburbs where shooting on 4th of July. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we were watching fireworks, and all I can think about was, like, what are my escape routes? Like, what am I looking for? Marlo can enjoy this. Jessica can enjoy this. But, like, I was sweating and, like, anxious the entire time. And I'm not saying that that is healthy either. But how do we raise our kids in this world we live in to always have an awareness? Think of if Scarlett or Bennett or Marlo were at away at college.
Yeah.
Like, how would they would have to have, like, a survival awareness, or if you hear shots, like, how are you finding, like, be aware of your exit points, be aware of whatever.
Yeah. I mean, every store I'm in, I'm like, okay, well, I came in this store. There's a door. There's typically in, like, a store, like Target. There's one door. That doesn't mean I'm not, like, in the store being like, where are all the other employee places?
Yeah.
Like, where could I get to?
Yeah.
It's terrifying. This is, like, I literally, like, I'm like, this is how people become agoraphobic. Like, there are all these, like,
what's that? Things, like, sorry. What's
that's when they're, like, afraid to leave the house.
A
true phobia of, like, physically, like, cannot on their own leave their home. And I'm like, every time there's, like, a report of a shooting, I'm like, this is why people are like, I don't want to go anywhere. I'm afraid to go anywhere. Like, it's hyper awareness. Every, you know, when there was that whole thing of, like, what's your Roman Empire? Like, what do you think of every day? I'm like, I don't know how to not get kidnapped.
Yeah.
Like, every time I go anywhere, I'm like, is someone following me? Is someone looking at my kid weird? Like, that's my Roman Empire. Sucks to suck.
Yeah.
But that's the world that it is. And you know what? I would say that I'm probably, like, I'm a more anxious person in that I'm medicated for anxiety. So I would say it affects me in a different way than it affects average people. But I know other people also live that way. Obviously, people actually are agoraphobic. And so it's just like, but yeah, this is things like that. It is scary. Like, how do you tell kids to do that without being like,
the world is a shithole?
Yeah, like, I'm like, I don't want to raise people that are just afraid of the whole world, but you want to be aware. It's just terrifying.
Yeah.
But then it's like, that mom, I mean, she's like, I didn't know that this was my kid.
Right. Well, that was the other part of it. You think, okay, there's no way. Imagine, again, like, our kids, right, at school. Mm-hmm. Imagine our kid is the shooter. Like, what?
I'm like, you hear there's a shooting at the school, you go to the hospital to, like, see if your kid's okay. And they tell you that your kid is the reason that everyone else is here. And you're like, obviously there are different, like, shows or films where things like this happen. And they'll kind of, the parent will be like, oh, there were signs. I did see this coming, but that's not how they play it in this. Like, she had no idea.
Yeah.
I feel like there was one show that I watched where there was something similar. Like, they didn't, the character didn't shoot anybody. They just, like, took a gun to a public place and, like, shot into the air a bunch of times. And then the cops came and, like, shot them. And that was suicide. They had, like, basically left a note that was like, I want to die, but I can't do it myself. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what movie or show this was.
I've not heard of that.
But there's something, right? So it's like, what was the ultimate goal? Just to die? Was the ultimate goal you wanted to hurt all these other people? Like, I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like, it's terrible. Like, it doesn't matter what the motivation is. It's just horrendous.
Yeah.
And so, but it's like, yes, I want to know. The question that they don't really dive into is, like, their home life, right? I assume he still lives at home. I don't know that. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know why I assume that. But my assumption is he still lives at home. The plot line of Jackson saying, like, no one should be saving him. And then, like, the arc of him seeing the mom find out and having no idea. And then ultimately telling her, like hearing her out and realizing that. What basically coming back to what Alex said, you know, my brother tried to kill my sister because he had a psychotic break. I would still want him to, you know, get, like, if he was hurt, I would still want doctors to save him. So, like, obviously that Jackson really hears that and then sees it again when he talks to the mom and, like, sees her feeling like, yes, she's probably mortified, but she still wants to know if her child is alive.
Yeah. I think it would have been easy as writers for them to give us a scene where everyone is, like, being terrible to this woman.
Right.
And like she's the mother of the shooter. You deserve to die for all of the carnage that your son has caused. I think it would have been easy for there to be like a vengeful tone to this. And I think that Alex, what does he say? Normal people don't do this. Like sick people do this.
The shooter's sick. Like, which I have like,
that's a tough thing. That's tough to grapple with. That's tough.
I have mixed feelings anytime they talk about like mental illness in relation to like, hurting other people,
mass violence.
Just any violence at all, really. And like, it is true, but I feel like it's anyways, that's like a whole, I really don't even know how to articulate it as someone who also is like treated for mental illness. I'm not truly sure how to like articulate it. I think it's just very, it's like really difficult to kind, cause I agree with what Alex is saying. Just like sometimes the way that it's discussed when mass shootings happen or any acts of violence happens,
right.
Like the way it's discussed in news and media, sometimes I just feel like it's not, it's just so complex and layered. Like there's so much to it. And I feel like really just the surface of it gets scraped. And so like, anyways, it's just, feel like sometimes it gets thrown as an excuse, which is irksome to me as someone like who has mental illness. Cause then I'm like, well, should I like not tell people that I'm also treated for mental illness? Cause they're just going to assume that I'm like a murderer. Like it's untrue. And most people who are also like actively aware of like what mental illness can mean, know that there are complexities and know that that's not the case. But there are people who like don't really know anything about mental health and they're not really going to put in any effort to learn anything about mental health. And those people will make assumptions and like, it is what it is. But anyways, I think this show and this episode does a fine job. I'm gonna just getting off on a tangent.
Yeah.
As per always.
It's but you know what? That's what the people want, Kelsey. I think to your point, I think we can end with this. It's like when we look at whether it's TV shows or the way mainstream media handles some of these traumatic events, everyone is like, we gotta find what was the motivation? And then the motivation can be used as a justification. And then it does teeter on that line of excuse.
It's also like what we talked about, apologies, giving the explanation. Does that sound like an excuse? Does it sound like I'm like, well, it's okay that I treated you bad because I'm mentally ill. I'm like, no.
Right.
That's not right. I shouldn't say that.
Right. Totally. And I think the hard part is at the end of the day, and I think that this show and other shows have, and we've even said this, at the end of the day, people are so complex that you can do everything right. You could do everything in a vacuum and still something goes wrong.
Right.
And I think that that's where we need to remember in situations like this in TV. And I think Grace does a good job at this is like, yes, this person was sick. Yes. Maybe their motivation, Gary Clark wanted to just kill Derek. Not that that's okay. But all of the things that transpired around that, he even said, like, I did, like, this is not what I wanted to do today. This is not, this is not how I saw my life.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it is, people are people. Shit gets real and shit happens and shit. Yeah. Shit is shitty. And I think that the whole point of life is trying to go through it with as little shittiness as you can create as little shittiness as possible, and experience as little shittiness as possible. And, this kind of stuff is everyone's worst nightmare. So, but you got to look at that behind the scenes thing too. Like, and Alex, I think he's not that he's letting the person off the hook because I don't think he says this person doesn't deserve justice. I think this person deserves to live. This person deserves the medical treatment that a doctor could provide. So I think it's a good.
Yeah. We don't choose who we save.
Yeah. We don't choose who we save. And then, you know, Jackson's kind of like a little snarky comment. Oh, that seems to be the party line today. Like, come on, dude. Like, I'm glad he has his arc. I'm glad Jackson gets an arc.
Jackson gets perspective.
He gets perspective.
One of the questions was from Claudio says, ask Carmen how he felt about the shooter's mom. I found it super sad and appreciated that Jackson, even though he couldn't stay in the operation, was able to extend her compassion. So, yeah, it is an arc that you definitely see. And he needs to see the other side of it it's kind of what you're saying about black and white. Like when he is standing in that surgery, it feels black and white to him. But to then see the mom, that's when he realizes there's more to Meredith's point, more to the story. That's not the whole story.
I don't
the theme of the episode.
I can't say many things for certainty, but this I can say.
And yet you do.
You're right. Kidding. Actually, everything I can say for certainty.
I will exclusively say things with certainty, regardless of whether or not I can.
All my opinions are certainty because they're fact-based.
Okay.
I can't say many... Sorry, keep kicking my microphone. I can't say many situational things with certainty because obviously situational stuff is tough. I think I can pretty confidently and 99.99999% certainly say this. Regardless of the situation, I would want my daughter to live.
Right.
I would want, like, I'm trying to think of the next most, like, heinous thing I can think of. If Marlo was a drunk driver and got into an accident and killed someone, it would not be okay that she drunk drove. It would not be okay that someone died. But it would also not be okay if my daughter died.
Right.
And I would want everything that the doctor could do to save my daughter's life. So,
right.
That's tough, but I do agree with the mom. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely, to your point, not black and white. At the end of the day, there's just too much to it. It's layers. It's onions. It's ogres.
It's onions. It's ogres.
Onions and ogres in the hospital. Okay.
Were there any other questions there? Good questions, Catherine and Claudio.
I think the other ones were fair enough said, did you expect Christina to be in the ambulance, which we talked about? And then the Derek Meredith thing, which I don't feel like we wrapped up.
No, there's still more to that.
Asked Carmen what he thought of the Meredith and Derek argument. Him calling her a spoiled brat is wild given the number of hissy fits he has thrown at the hospital, which is correct.
Yes.
And then Angie responded and said, the calling her a brat makes me want to set his perfect hair aflame. So true, Angie. So true. The men on this show love infantilizing women when they're angry, which is very accurate. There's belittling. Angie.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's really annoying. I think it's fucking bullshit. And then Angie also goes on to make this point. How can Derek not understand why Meredith wants to update the spouse and then called back to when Meredith had drowned? And she's like, was Derek like wanting to be ignored or did he want updates or did he go yell at a woman with Alzheimer's? So Derek can get a little fucking perspective and shut his goddamn mouth.
That's fair. It's fair.
So yeah, those were the questions about the episode. But I do feel like we need to, there's one more. Do you think, Callie will forgive Arizona? And if so, how long will it take?
I think Callie will forgive Arizona. But it's going to take like 2 or 3 episodes. Because I think what needs to happen is Arizona needs to realize that it is over. And Callie even says like when I think you said it last week about the grand gesture. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's great. You flew halfway around the world. But Callie even says, but you flew halfway around the world away. And you were gone for how long before you came back? Like, you didn't look back. You didn't talk to me. There was nothing. You cold turkey left. And then the grand gesture comes right when I'm kind of at a healing realization. Mm-hmm. So I do think, I also don't think that Callie was completely faultless. I don't think any breakup, there's a complete faultless aspect. But I think a lot of it is not like Arizona did not handle that situation.
The main issue is no one was like fully communicating anything to each other. They were just being like, this is fine. Everything's fine. Well, it wasn't fine.
It was not fun.
She's like, well, you need to forgive me because I came back for you. And he's like, you also fucking left. So what about that? Which I do think needs to be acknowledged. So
yeah.
Did you say how long you think it will be before?
Two or three episodes. Two or three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about the vigil.
What were your feelings around the vigil? Let's take a quick message from our regional sponsors first.
Ignore my question completely.
Yeah, because I want to ignore you because we're not even real friends.
Right. I know.
We'll be back.
It's all an act.
And we are back.
We're friends now.
Yeah, we're friends again. We've healed. Wow with the vigil. Like that was out of nowhere. I knew right away that was like, that's got to be like some sort of alma mater song, like or their fight song or something.
Yeah.
The fact that Meredith told the woman, Mrs. Surgeon, come with me, you got to see this, and the whole waiting room went like, also, did Meredith just pair? She just paired people together. She's like, you guys are going to go through a lot today. Just be together. Yeah. Great. That was cool.
Yeah.
But
it was cool that girl was like, yeah, okay, this day sucks.
Yeah.
We're all in the same boat.
We all have people together.
Wow, that's so incorrect.
What's the words?
The words are right. It was the tune that was wrong.
I've never seen the movie. I was trying to remember it.
Truly insulting to like who I am as a human being. That movie was shaped me to my core. You know, Zac Efron is my number one.
It's true. I recently saw a Reddit thread of someone trashing him and his his surgery. And it was just it was really inspiring to see a whole community come together and be like, this OP can just suck it because he had a traumatic,
he had a broken jaw. Yeah.
And I honestly, the post was like, oh man, plastic surgery really changed that. Like he aged terribly. And I'm like, dude, he actually does not look that bad at all.
He really has never looked bad a day in his life.
Well, maybe what an angel, what a maybe man, the yeah. day of surgery.
Mm-mm. I was there. I held his hand. I said, you're beautiful.
And he said, we're all in this together.
We're all in this together.
Oh, see, yeah, that sounds more right.
Pretty different, yeah. okay, so yeah, they go to the vigil. I went to college, do not know the alma mater to my college, but I still know the alma mater to my high school, so. I just think every time I'm like, I don't know the alma mater to my college. But I do know the alma mater to my high school, so I guess maybe some people would know the alma mater for their college.
Almas matter, am I right?
I know the fight songs. I know Rocky Top, which is not where I went to college, but is the college that I am more emotionally attached to. Mm. So,
You know, that pitcher that the White Sox drafted from Tennessee is an all-star this year.
Mm-hmm. Tennessee won the baseball college World Series.
I keep forgetting to tell you that.
I was involved. I actually knew that was happening.
Oh, okay.
I didn't watch it, but I was following like the score updates.
It's pretty impressive too.
It was a big deal. Yeah.
So yeah, candlelit vigil. They're singing through. They must be singing loud because it was audible through the glass windows on the balcony, the catwalk. I mean, yeah, and it
was iconic.
It's very cool.
Very moving.
Goosebumpies.
Yeah. I did get goosebumps, even though I knew it was happening. Also, there was something. Oh, I think when Derek told Meredith that Christina was in OR1, I think I got goosebumps also at that part, but I don't remember. There was another part where I was like, wow, I still get goosebumps at this episode. Amazing. That was another issue I had with Derek when he's like, I know you don't think that what I did with Christina worked, but she's in OR1. It just felt like he was taking credit for it. And I'm like, did he have a hand in her processing her trauma? Probably, but he doesn't like need to rub it in Meredith's face. Like, I don't understand. Why does he suck so much?
Yeah, I don't think anyone really deserves full credit for getting anyone
Christina
past
deserves
that.
Full credit. for like getting through it, even though, yes, she had help.
Well, yes, I'm talking
the
other
one
people
that did it. I agree. I'm just like, I just want to make sure that like we are giving credit to Christina.
Yeah.
But yeah, Derek. So
wait, hold on. So, I want to call out because this is there was a scene and I think we passed it chronologically in the episode, but I want to circle back to my note when he goes back and it was the scene after he calls her bratty and they fight and leave is because they needed to take the other side of his skull off.
Right.
And Meredith's like, okay, yeah, this is pretty crazy. I'm going to go tell the wife. So when she goes up to the wife and says, I know this sounds frightening and extreme. Because it is.
Because it is actually insane.
Like, I don't know why, but I had to watch that scene a couple times because it just made me laugh. It's like, I know that this sounds like the worst possible thing that can happen, but it is. It is, in fact, the worst possible thing. Like, I'm not downplaying this woman. It just was very funny to me, and I needed to make sure that we called out that scene in that moment.
Yeah. I'm trying to look at my notes because we kind of were all over the place with this one, but that's how this episode is. At the end of the day, they all go into the gallery to watch Christina and Teddy work. And when he leaves, Richard says, we saw 26 victims today and no one died. We had no casualties. And then like they're still kind of crying and then someone starts laughing and then everybody starts laughing. And it's just a good moment of like processing again, like living through trauma and going through grief and everything. And then that's when Stark's like, I hate this place. I'm like, fuck off. Then leave. Nobody likes you. Like, literally get a job somewhere else.
Yeah. When I think Weber was already in there watching the surgery, then Meredith comes in, then
Meredith and Derek go in. Yeah.
And then slowly it fills up. And yeah, at the end, there's a couple of people crying. For sure, Bailey starts to crying because, and I want to circle back to that Bailey scene in a minute here too.
Yeah, we have to do that.
And then also, can we just call out that scene? Well, we'll get to it at the end because it involves Mark. But yeah, they're all like, they're sitting there crying. Some of them are a little bit more crying than teary-eyed than others. And then I think Derek starts the laughing. I think Derek laughed first. And they're all together. Stark can suck on a log. And then Weber's like, look, I was just being a dick earlier. You can have your job back. Mm-hmm. I can hire you, but yeah, you report to Stark. So, shoulder tap, walks out, belly laughs, all is well in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The scene with Mark that I was talking about, because I think it circles back after this, is when he's doing the scar stuff for the girl. Mm-hmm. And Owen walks up and just staple, and Mark's like, right. Whoa, this is not how I operate, so someone take my name off that chart. And then...
I will say, kind of on Owen's side, he's like, dude, for sure. We don't have operating rooms. Like, I appreciate that you're doing a good job, but like, we just need to move people right now. And I also appreciate later on that Mark went back and was like, she doesn't deserve to have a huge scar her whole life. I just want to give it. Do you mind if I take the time to fix it or whatever? So again, I don't think I think Mark was just operating normally, which is fine. I don't think he realized kind of the implications of not having enough space.
Yeah.
Because he still wants to provide the highest level of care. And it's been said before, it's just looking at it differently. He's not a trauma surgeon. He doesn't think, he just is like, this is the patient I have in front of me. Obviously he knows that there is a bad situation happening. He just doesn't kind of think about what that means for what he has to be doing in that moment. But I don't fault him for doing a good job. But I also don't fault Owen for being like, bro, we got to have this bed. We don't have operating rooms.
Yeah. That's a situation where you think about Derek and Meredith, there were no winners. There were only losers. With Mark and Hunt, there were no losers. Like, they were both right. Yeah. They just were looking at things in different lenses. And then we get the beautiful scene where Lexi's like, yeah, dude, just, I fucking love you, bro. And that's cute.
Yeah, it's very cute. Mm. And then was there anything else? Okay, Teddy and Henry at Joe's, and Henry's like, we should drink. And she's like, no, I spent, you know, all day saving the life of someone who I didn't want to save. And Henry says, you know, you saved my life today too. So I think we should drink to that. And I think that's important to acknowledge. So,
yeah, definitely. So I think there's two scenes we need to end with. Let's circle back to Bailey. And then I think we got to talk about Christine and Meredith.
Obviously.
So when Bailey hands off Chuck to Alex, didn't even think about it in my head. Just has to debride one of the veins or something like, or the arteries for this guy. So Alex is doing it and then he starts to crash. Jackson yells clear with the crash cart. And very quickly, I feel like that was one of the quickest clear to chest explosion that I've seen in the show. Usually they give a little bit more time. What if there was someone's hands who they were slow with the trigger of getting off? I don't know. Give some more time, Jackson. But when Bailey walks back in and she yells and calls him Charles, and she yells up and she says, you send that boy back right now. Yeah. Damn, that got me emotional.
Yeah, that was so good. So good.
Like,
I loved that one. And then she's like, sorry about that bastard thing.
I just, these writers.
I know. Well, did you think about Chuck being short for Charles before that moment? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. That's really where it fucking hits you.
Yes.
Is where you're like, God, oh, it's so good.
That's exactly when it got, like, because when she said Charles and I was like, oh boy. Charles Percy. I see it now. This is wild. So yeah, that was pretty great writing, but also great acting. Chandra, yeah. My gosh. Mm-hmm. Oh, so 26 good. Lives saved. 26 for 26. That's a pretty good ratio. All right. So I know we touched a little bit on this with Cali and Arizona. With them already, because I think that was a part where, yes, she said, I flew halfway around the world to be with you, to Cali, and then Cali's like, yeah, but you flew around halfway around the world to leave. I think that's important to mention. Yeah,
you had to fly back because you left in the first place, so that's on you.
Faz, the cop, lives. Mm-hmm. Weber and Marty get a handshake, and he says, we got to stop meeting like this. I agree. Mm-hmm. No more shootings for a while. But let's talk about Meredith and Christina. Why don't you take it away there?
So, yeah, after Derek takes credit for bringing Christina back to life, he tells Meredith she's in OR1, so they go and watch. And then afterwards, they're in the hall, like, walking towards each other. They see each other. They kind of slow down. Then they continue to walk to each other. They have a moment. And Christina said, do you want to go get a drink? And Meredith says, yes. And then she says, but not really, because we're trying to have a baby. And apparently if I drink alcohol, it'll give my baby three heads. And Christina goes, oh, okay. Do you want to get some crack cocaine?
Perfect.
And that's real friendship.
That is friendship. That.
And that's how you know, like, they're back. Yeah. Christina's back to Christina. And they're back as persons for each other. You're my person, you know?
Yeah. I like that scene because that felt like an interaction that you and I would share with each other.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Would you rather get some fucking heroin? Like, I don't know what you want from me, Carmen.
Yeah, truly. So good.
Yeah. So is there anything that we missed? I feel, cause I tried to write everything down on the chron. Oh, there was that kind of that intense moment before the surgery was over where they're like, all right, the heart should start beating in any minute now. They kind of give us a little bit of that cliffhangery moment. So it was, I don't know. It was just really good to see, after all of that, that Christina's first person back that she's helping lives, even if it is the worst person. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's anything that I miss. I think all the notes, I mean, we did pretty sequential for the most part.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just going to double check through. I want to get some crack cocaine.
I want to say that when Henry said that he was disappointed in the no wedding cake because loves wedding cake, I was like, yes, this is what I need. I would just go also, buy a wedding cake.
I love when she goes, oh, you look exhausted. He goes, you look exhausted. I look handsome. Yes. So good. I love him so much. So, yeah, they really just skate over the fact that Teddy's married.
Yeah.
because there's so much else happening, which I think is the point. But yeah, let's we'll rate it. We'll predict some shiz. Let's okay. For me, it's a 5. And it's so interesting because I think it's very different from the 5 of last week, because I think obviously it's like just does it tell it. It's telling so many stories in such a different way. And there's so many callbacks to their own trauma. And it just feels like a real portrait of like how that would be processed in real time if that were to happen. And so I just think the acting is incredible. The storytelling, the writing, every choice that was made made sense to me, other than Derek, like not really understanding why Meredith wants to go update the wife. Like that bothered me, but whatever, it is what it is. But yeah, that for me, it's a 5.
Before I give my ranking, I do think to that point right there, we should call out, there was a scene at the end where he acknowledges, I've been so focused on Christina that we haven't recognized that you've been propping everyone up. And I think you called that out very early on the episode, but we do want to make sure that we you know, mention that again.
I think so. Sorry. Someone else did ask that. Do you think Meredith's trauma was overlooked because she, like, quote unquote, seemed fine?
Yeah.
Versus like, and she says like, oh, I didn't go through trauma. I'm not hiding under OR tables. I'm not bartending. Like, so I don't get your support, like all this stuff. So, yeah
her trauma looked different. Mm-hmm. So it didn't look like, it was needed, and that's not okay. But we also, I don't think we've seen very, very clear, distinct cries for help from Meredith the way that, like, Christina's kind of a manifestation looked like it was. Not an excuse. I think just that's just a thing to call out. 5. Yeah, 5 for me. This was a great episode. It had drama. It had great writing. It had emotional scenes. It had things that really make you think. Like the layer of the mom being there wanting her kid to be okay, but the kid is the villain in this story. Like, it's very complex. Jackson and the other nurse making their choices that go as a direct contradiction to the Hippocratic Oath. It's interesting stuff. Arizona's back. Christina seems to be back. Meredith and Christina seem to be, like you said, each other's person again. Lexi and Mark seem to be back. There's just like, in all of the chaos, there seems to be a lot of good in this episode, mm-hmm. too. So yeah, that's a 5. And that's hard to write into an episode.
Yeah.
So 5 for me. And what else do I need to, is there anything else I need to predict? I think I'm ready to predict that Christina's back. I think I've said that she was going to be back within a certain amount of episodes, but it feels like she's going to get her job back at the hospital. It feels like she's going to be a surgeon. I'd like to stick with that.
Okay. Do you want to predict anything for Teddy and,
Henry Jake Sean. I think he's going to annul the wedding before anything serious can happen. I think this helps illustrate Teddy as a person and how she wants to do right by people and save lives. Mm-hmm. But she was willing to do the thing. Her willingness is rewarded, and I don't think she's going to have to do it. I think he might annul the wedding and then die.
Okay. Oh. Like,
so he can go back,
sign it, and then drop dead.
Yeah, so he can go back to DC, or he stays married, and it actually turns out that he has Denny Duquette money, and she's going to start the Henry Jake Sean Memorial Clinic.
Wait, you just said he stays alive.
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know anything.
Yeah, I don't even know. As soon as I've said it, I've forgotten it. What about Mark and Lexi?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know that's the point of the podcast. Yeah.
Also, it looks like my computer is telling me that I can't record anything else because I'm full of space.
Oh, good.
So this will be an interesting podcast to hear.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, what was the question? I was distracted.
Mark and Lexi.
Mark and Lexi. Yeah, they're gonna get married and have babies.
Okay.
They're gonna get married before the end of the season.
Okay. Arizona and Callie, you said Callie will forgive her. You think they'll get back together?
No.
Okay.
No.
Derek and Meredith.
They're good. They're gonna have a baby. She'll get pregnant again before the end of the season.
Okay. Who else is in the show? Owen and Christina.
I want them to not be married, but they'll stay married.
Okay. Weber is the chief. Do you have anything for him?
No.
Anything for Jackson, Alex, April? I think that's everyone.
I need to see Jackson talk to a therapist.
I would love it.
That's what I need right now. April, nothing. She had a good episode. She did well. Yeah, I don't think I have any more predictions on them. We need to see Adele come back and Olivia. That's really what I'm thinking and feeling.
Okay.
Both of them need to make comebacks.
Okay. I think that's it for predictions and people and characters in this show. I'm trying to make sure. Oh, anything for Bailey?
I think that this is the win that she needed.
Okay.
This is the win that she needed. And I think that she's going to call Ben back. She's going to call Ben now.
Okay. Sober.
Sober. Yes.
Okay. I think that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please join us over on Patreon so you can get on our Discord. You can ask our Patreon questions. You can chat with us on Patreon. You can get access to bonus content and follow us on Instagram, Grey's Academy Pod. Follow us on TikTok. Grey's Academy Pod. You can email greysacademypod@gmail.com. Carmen, did you have something else to say? Oh, you looked like no. You were going to say something. Okay. And if you see Carmen walking down the streets of Chicago or Spain or anywhere else he might be walking, remember,
no spoilies, yes selfies, and we really, really appreciate all of you. We'll see you all in the next one.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.